Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Contractor Evolution. This is Benji. Our guest on the show today is my friend Luke Hansen. He's the founder and CEO of Company Cam, the industry-leading job site photo tool that allows you to manage work from anywhere. It's a great platform. I love it. Today's episode is essentially a tech CEO's four big business lessons for contractors. We talk about brand building, strategy, social media, and a bunch more. Without further ado, let's dive in with Luke Hansen.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
If you're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability, you've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting.
Luke Hansen, my favorite tech founder and CEO in all of the blue collar space, maybe the world. How are you, dude? It's been a minute.
Am I just edging out Zuckerberg? You know, just
narrow barely. Margin. You just got it. You just beat him.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to like MMA. You know, he's like 5'8". I think I could. No, he'd probably kill me in an MMA fight. He's been training.
That's what I've heard.
I'm good. We've been working on some like company strategy, some the Nebraska basketball team where I live made it to the NCAA tournament.
Go Huskers.
Which never happens. Yeah. Yes. So we're playing tomorrow. You know,
life is
a lot
good.
Of good stuff going on.
Dude, I haven't seen you in a minute, and obviously you could talk about this for hours, but just give me a quick update on you, Company Cam, the strategy, the team, any big wins, any big fails. Like, wow. How's it been over there?
Lightning round.
How's it been over there at headquarters? Yeah.
It's good. It's great. Like, things are going really well. Personally, my wife is happy and healthy, overwhelmingly happy. My kids, though off and on sick, they're doing great. I'm building a house. This is all personal. Building a house, which is sort of enjoyable, but also frustrating. I'm working with a lot of contractors. Some of them use Company Cam, which is fun. Business-wise, we hired a CPTO, so Chief Product and Technology Officer. Name's Dave. Dude is just, I don't know, one of those people, you bring him in, he's just awesome. And so I feel like our tech and our product, like, I just see it continuing to get so much better, which is exciting. We had our best month ever last month. We're doing a whole, I don't want to say a whole company, but kind of a big strategic planning thing right now. So I ducked out of there to come over here and hang out. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's good. And we're working on cool stuff that I'm really excited about.
Any interesting features or updates you can talk about?
Ooh, yeah, here's my big thing right now is that, you know, we're about capturing information on site, mostly a Company Cam. It's photos, videos. With the new AI stuff, you know, you see there's a lot of gimmicky things going on. But one thing that I don't think is gimmicky at all is now the ability to capture information with your voice. To speak it, to have it be transcribed essentially perfectly, and then to have that be able to be understood and kind of put where it needs to go. And so we're really, with Company Cam, we're exploring how do we allow you to just take pictures and talk to your phone and capture everything on site that you
that's
need
sick.
To capture. So that's where our head's at. We're going to be iterating. We just released kind of a beta of that. But like, to me, I've wanted that forever, and it's just super fun to finally get something out.
So instead of like snap a picture and then basically hold the phone close and type out the instructions on some really technical detail about the flashing, it's just snap, talk, submit.
Yeah. I mean, here's the beauty. You can walk around, take pictures. You just take a picture, then you talk to your phone. We're going to transcribe that. So we have what you said. It's connected to the photo. But then let's say you take 50 photos. We can build you this beautiful document that like it's kind of automatically organized itself with AI so that it bundles the right things together. And it just creates this notes for you from what you did that you didn't have to write.
Yeah.
That it kind of feels like magic when you get something. Then you're like, oh, it just made that for me based on what I was doing. And I didn't have to tell it that you know it should put all the vents together and it should do this kind of stuff.
That's sick. That is not
so
gimmicky.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm into that. There's a lot that is gimmicky. That is very cool. So look, today we're going to go through kind of four business lessons for contractors from a tech CEO. I always love this kind of like industry blending where it's like, hey, what does somebody in this vertical, in this space, solving these problems, what can they teach this other type of business owner? And the answer is always a ton, because there's, when you're thinking in terms of first principles of leadership and strategy and growth, I think that's where the real nuggets are. So we're going to get into four really cool lessons from Luke. Before we do, we got to talk about wardrobe. Obviously this fit is fire today. If you're watching on YouTube, you're welcome. If you're just listening in your truck, go check out the YouTube later. The drip is just off the chain. So this is from Alan McLean, Big Sky Landscaping. I think I sold Alan originally, like, I don't know, a long time ago. Met him at a landscaping conference in Montana. So here are the notes from Alan. I was texting with him just this morning. We specialize in landscape construction and maintenance. We also operate a retail garden center during the summer months. Joined BTA in the fall of 2019. Been a member for a little over 4 years. Dan Stav is his coach. He lives in the resort community of Big Sky, Montana. A lot of good skiing there. And that is where we operate the business. So, Luke, I always ask members for a challenge and a win in their business. And maybe you have some thoughts for Alan. A big challenge we are trying to solve this year is reaching our production hour goals. Our plan is to track and review production hours weekly per division. If we can't stay on track with production, we won't hit our revenue goals. A big win so far this year is setting individual quarterly goals for managers. We then created weekly checklists for each manager that move progress towards those goals. Progress on the checklist is reviewed in a weekly group meeting. It is proving to keep everyone on track towards success without daily oversight. That's a big win. Any thoughts, any advice for Alan? Ooh,
advice. I mean, that just sounds ahead of the game. Like, you've got goals, you've got checklists, you're tracking them. Not only that, but he broke down their revenue goal to understand what that meant for production. No, when you were walking through that, I was like, oh, maybe there's a smooth piece of advice I could give. And I thought, no. It sounds like he's got it in hand.
He should be advising you and me.
The execution is the hard part. He's
got a really, really cool little lifestyle business there. He's done an amazing job. Thank you for the shirt, the bandana, Alan. If you are listening and you want to work with over 600 contractors like Alan, check out Breakthrough Academy. We systemize contracting businesses for growth. We're really good at it. There'll be a link up here on the screen or maybe in the description below. Click on that. See if this is a fit for you. Okay. Speaking of sick outfits, this is a perfect segue. The first thing that you wanted to talk about, I'm just going to read it for you. You're saying invest in your brand. So let's start there.
Yes. That's something, you know, you're running some sort of contracting business. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people to manage. There's a lot of things going on, but one of the hard parts is how are you recognized? Like, when people just see you, when they see your company, what do they think? And it's because something like your brand, and when I say brand, I don't mean just that you have a hat or in your case, I love that they have bandanas actually. Like, having some sort of unique kind of item is automatically good. Human beings remember things that stand out, that are different, that are sometimes even a little weird. The entire reason I ended up with this ridiculous mustache is that I was working on company cam. This was early on. Went to a trade show, meeting a bunch of contractors. And, you know, afterwards, I'm following up, trying to do my best, calling them up. And many of them said, oh, you were the guy with the mustache. Because I didn't have a mustache, you know, maybe but a couple months before that. And that just, it stuck with me. I thought that their ability to like remember me really matters, because we have limited amount of space in our head. And like just being, I say this around here all the time, but like oftentimes being different and being memorable is better than being better in the same way that other people are already doing things. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be 10% better than the next person, but if no one knows you, remembers you, and when they need landscaping, Big Sky doesn't come to mind, and they just type it into Google, and you may not be paying for AdWords that week, or, you know, your brand is this long-term asset of your business that it takes a while, let's say, to grow, to kind of get established there, but then it pays back over time. And so it again, I'm talking really fast. It definitely is the sort of visual people see that does matter when they see your truck or your van or your building or you or your logo. That does matter, or your website, mm-hmm. these things that you make. But it's also what they remember about the process, what they remember about what you said. Like, I don't know if you have Chick-fil-A in Canada yet. Mm-mm. But
I visit when I'm down there. I'm a frequent flyer when I'm down there. Yeah.
When we got it, like, we didn't have it growing up, so I didn't even know what it was. I'd see the commercials from time to time. But I remember when they were coming in to, like, build one in our town in Nebraska, like, has like a decade ago. People were going nuts. Absolutely nuts. And I realized once I ate there why is that they have this crystal clear brand identity and culture, and it rolls into one thing. And they say weird stuff, like, it's my pleasure. And, like, but it's memorable. Mm-hmm. It sticks with you. It's not the same experience that you get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I will die on this hill of saying these are regular chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. They're not that special. I mean, they're fine. They're good. But it is the experience and the memory that they create in you that is what brings you back. So all of that is part of this brand, and what I think of is, in a sense, you want to occupy a space in someone's brain that is unique to you. It's not a cluster of 10 things. It's you. It's your company. And you're in that one little spot. And how do you do that? I don't know that I have all the secrets there, but it's worth investing in, and it's worth starting that early on, because it will pay over time.
Yeah. So I want to zoom in on a word there. You said early on. Like, would you make the case that this is one of, on your journey from, like, brand new baby business with a couple helpers all the way up to, you know, should you make it this far, some enterprise level thing, mm-hmm. is there a case to be made for a really significant investment in brand happening in the early chapters of that?
You know, I wouldn't go deep into debt or something on brand, but that's one thing that we did at Company Cam. We were sending out hats. We were doing things that it's something they always say in startups or in tech, like, do things that don't scale. Things that, yeah, you may not be able to do this thing when you've got 1,000 people at your company or something, but that doesn't matter. You should start doing it now. And I think your brand and working on that early,
yeah,
I think it's important,
yeah,
but I wouldn't put it ahead of like, you know, the blocking and tackling of a lot of the rest of your business. But the quicker you can have that identity, and I don't want to add too many things here, but I'm going to add one more, is that as you're thinking about your brand, who are we? How are we different? How do we stand out? Like, who is our customer that we're solving a very clear problem for a very specific person? When you think about that, that can help guide you to not just follow the path that everyone else has already laid down. Mm-hmm. And there is a good reason to not reinvent the wheel and to learn from best practices. But at some point, you have to be different than the next person. And that is where your brand comes in. And I think,
yeah,
to say a lot of words, starting it early is very sensible.
Yeah. Okay. So here's an interesting question for you. Like, you are obviously a brand forward founder. You work with a lot of very interesting and intelligent brand people. I'm sure you've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions over the years on brand. You also are plugged into this space. So whether you're tooling around a trade show, working with some of your users, you're on the job site of the home build that's happening for you. What do you see in your mind, mistakes that contractors make surrounding brand? Are there any real, like, sort of facepalm moments for you?
Yeah, there's, So much of what I see is that people want to sort of be very safe and generic when that is the opposite of being memorable and unique. Mm. And I get it. Like, everyone's personality isn't like mine. You're not going to have a ridiculous mustache. Well, okay, you know, maybe Benji does. And he's one-upping me with a headband
as we speak.
Small sample
size on this podcast, but we're, we've got a lot of density. We've got much mustache density today.
Mustache saturation. It doesn't as much have to be your personality, you know, or that you're trying to make a big show of yourself or even of your company, but that by trying to be as sort of safe isn't quite right. Trying to be as generic as possible, trying to be appeal to absolutely everyone. When you do that, you actually appeal to sort of fewer people because you become not remembered, you know, by anyone. Mm-hmm. And now I don't want to say things that I am going to do it, man. I'm going to throw them under the bus. Like, there are, we literally do because I said this at the trade show and I checked. We have over 1,000 contracting companies with the name Elite in their name in our database that have only signed up for a trial. That we don't have that many paying companies.
Elite, Precision, and Premium. Those are the three.
Elite, yeah. Roof. Yeah. And look, tons of these companies are very successful. I'm not super down on any. I don't want to be really negative here. But like, if you can step outside of that, if you think of some of these big companies like Amazon, Google, like these are bizarre words that we'd never even heard of. That is the type of thing that you hear it a few times and it just sticks differently versus I could try to call Elite Roofing around here and I might call three different people and I literally might call the wrong company because there are so many of those. And so again, we love Elite Roofing. We got a lot
of
Elite Roofing
of
customers. I'm not I'm literally attacking our most popular customer. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying when you're early on and you're thinking about this, like thinking about being memorable more than trying to like say a whole bunch about your business, like we're elite or we're the best, is that you're better off being memorable than you are trying to make some statement about your business when it comes to like your name and your identity.
There's a really great book for if people want to read deeper on this, you go check out a book called Get Different by Mike Michalowicz. And then the other guy in this space that I just think is really interesting is Dan Antonelli with Kick Charge Creative. He's got a really interesting agency. He's written the book basically on branding for home service companies.
The other book.
Two really interesting. So one's called Get Branded, Not Blanded, and then Get Different. Two good books for you guys. Okay, let's move on to the next lesson, Luke.
Yes. I've got here, document the process for the world. Now, the alternate title of this was Document the Process on Social Media. Every one of your customers, everyone that you could build the biggest business you could imagine only selling to people who are on apps, who are looking at Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, you name it. Like, I will die on this hill. Your customers are there. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes to try to make the best thing, the prettiest thing. We want our product to be like, I'm going to keep running with the big sky. You want to do beautiful landscaping and you want to only show off this sort of beautiful end result. But when people are hiring a contractor, a landscaper, often they want to work with a person. They want to, like, the core thing they're looking for is, do I trust this person to get me what I want? That is, I think, at the center of this relationship. And you merely documenting some of what you're doing. It could be giving an estimate. It could be putting a plant in the ground. There's so much opportunity there. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be anything. It just has to be you such that people can see you. Again, I'm using you interchangeably with potentially your employees, other people at your company, that you are putting this sort of human face, this real person connected to this brand identity that we were just talking about, this, you know, brand that you're creating. And not only that, you can show them things that they haven't seen or don't know without trying to put yourself out as being the world expert, that you know everything. It rubs me wrong when people act like that. Like, I never want to do that because, look, my family owns a roofing business. I've done a lot of roofing, but I am absolutely not the expert on how to run your roofing business. I know some things, but I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. But if you see me on your phone someday, and I'm in a sense teaching you something, showing you how something works, talking about the process a little bit, teaching you something, it doesn't have to be fancy. It you will trust me more come the time that that you need that service.
I want to make a comment. I'm going to jump in here. Okay, so look, you mentioned something earlier about gimmicky AI stuff. I am very, because I work in the marketing and brand space, and I'm by no means an expert, but I do stay somewhat plugged into this, and I think the current zeitgeist on a lot of brand building is that, well, there's certainly a school of thought that thinks mm-hmm. a lot of the copy, a lot of the imagery, a lot of the photo, and very soon video is going to become so AI driven quite soon that it's going to basically nauseate the audience or almost I personally think that humans are smarter and care about consuming human-made stuff more than like the tech futurists seem to think. That's my personal take. And so I think that very, very soon there's going to be a new value and scarcity put on human-driven products and services. And you as a, Big Sky has, I don't know, did he say 30, 40 employees at peak season? Those are all people with stories. I mean, and I've said this in other podcasts, but like your business is so content friendly. It's so video friendly. Like, get the phone out and film the guy in the Bobcat doing the tricks you see people in these huge, like you see Dirtworks guys or like earth movers doing tricks with like their backhoe. Like, that's a sick clip for your socials. You see another guy do like a trick with the drill bit. Like, there's so much stuff there, and we just kind of walk past it and get back to work. So anyway, that was a quick tangent.
Yeah. I want to lower the threshold because I like that. Look, I've seen these guys and thought, man, that guy's a legend driving a Bobcat, or when they managed to get it in the truck, you know, but I to me, that sets too high of a, like, we have this bar in our mind of like going viral, or it's got to be something, you know, we don't want to embarrass us. And what I want to essentially say is that merely showing something that you're doing, that your crew is doing, that what's happening, and explaining it a little bit. This is what we're doing. This is why we do it this way. And this is why this matters. It doesn't have to be complicated at all. And when I am a person who is interested in that type of thing, maybe I Googled it, maybe I, you know, all the ways, that is the type of stuff that I find myself consuming. And you just have this opportunity to build trust with a very low threshold. And if you can get something, you know, really funny, really cool, I love that. And I'm so for that.
It also celebritizes the team a little bit. It also I think you maybe people sleep on the fact that, your new painter or your landscape technician who's like the low guy on the totem pole, when they get a chance to like show a cool trick or a cool part of a process or something that they're building, and you can name drop them and it's them in the video, that's a little human moment for that person. Those are these intangibles about a job that makes your employer brand a little bit more appealing of a value proposition in the first place. So it helps. It's not just for the brand in terms of marketing and lead gen. There's a whole other side to this too.
Yes. I love that. Like that, you know, if you got 40 employees, then yeah, you might be the leader of the company, but you're not the whole company, and people love to be appreciated. This is a bit of a side tangent, but I went to college twice because I dropped out, and I didn't learn very much, but I remember the one thing I learned was about motivation. And I specifically remember my professor talking about handing that money motivates to a certain point. Now, when it's variable, if it's like a sales commission, that, you know, there's there's edges to this, but that merely verbally and vocally appreciating the work that someone does, like handing them their paycheck at the end of the week, that was actually a big thing at the time in this class 20 years ago when I was in college, hand them their paycheck and say, thanks for the great work you did this week, you know, maybe on this job or whatever. And then if you have any feedback to offer them, would love to see you practice X or improve it. Like that mere act of handing someone their paycheck and appreciating the work that they're doing connected or was far more motivating than material sums of money or a lot of other things that we think we try to do to get people to, you know, like work harder, care more. And this, I don't think this is the same as putting your people on social media, but I think this sort of principle applies that their feeling of contribution and even appreciation, it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tangent. What, can I go to number three?
Yeah.
That's are you going to?
Well, I this doesn't need to be a sales pitch for company cam, but there is kind of a natural little moment here to share. One thing that I do, one feature that I do really like about you guys that I don't think it was originally built for is photo storage for social media. I mean, this is originally built for, you know, job site communication, but mm-hmm. if you're running an Instagram channel, you never have pictures, get company yep. cam. You might actually have some all of a sudden.
When I was jumping into this podcast, I was just glanced at my email and I had an email from a customer of how do I get my before and after videos straight into Instagram?
Yeah.
Or not before and after, the walkthrough videos. He does the walkthrough where you can it records you and you record the world. And he talks about his work and he posts them on Instagram and he's having a lot of success. But that it really, we're here to store everything. But what I used to do, sorry, this is a little marketing hack, is when I was at the office, and this is right when we started company cam, it's kind of see the photos flow through and you would just sort of notice interesting things that you could potentially share.
Right.
And it's stuff that you didn't, it's not always something that you go out and get. Like, we're going to go get this piece of marketing or something like that. But that ability to pay attention and then maybe just tag it or something, it can be a nice place to sort of see what's coming in from everywhere and see if you have anything interesting or if there's any little story to be told about any of that.
I couldn't agree more. Let's go to three.
Okay, number three. It's number four on my list, but I'm audibling on the order. This is something I'm doing this week, or we're doing as a company, and it's sort of reminding me of the importance of it a little bit, which is to periodically step away and make a plan. It is a lot of people who aren't in this space at all in contracting have no idea how hard it is, not in the sense that doing landscaping is hard. There's plenty of hard work involved, but it's an almost constant experience. You're managing people, you're coordinating jobs, you're getting materials, you're trying to bid properly, you've got an office, you have a million things going on, and it can pull you in to where you're in all the time, and you never get enough distance. You don't ever step away far enough to kind of intentionally think, I'm going to say strategy. Instead of saying strategy, just say, what are the, in a sense, to-dos, the action items that we need to do to get to this next level that we want to get to? Where do we want to be? Where do we think we could be reasonably in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? And what are the priorities to get there that aren't solve this problem today, get this job scheduled for tomorrow? And, you know, if they're with Breakthrough Academy already, I know that they're ahead of the game on this because this is a big part of stepping back, mm-hmm. making a plan, implementing the system. But this is, I think it's more encouragement than anything else, which is that you just have to step away intentionally and take the time to think about this, and not while you're on vacation or, you know, you can think on vacation, don't get me wrong. But you want to, at least for me, I'm trying to be present with my family when I'm with my family, be present at work when I'm at work. You know, a lot of this stuff's easier said than done when you're in the middle of it or your phone's ringing. But schedule it quarterly. I like quarterly. Every 3 months, there's a day where you step back and maybe some of your top people, and you just say, where could we be if we tried really hard to be there in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, and What are the steps to get there that as we see them right now?
You talk about getting sucked in, Luke. Like, can you talk about what that looks like? Is that the exact same when you're building software? I mean, you think you gave the contractor analogy, and it's a very visual, visceral experience that we've all had, and certainly our listeners have had and are connecting with. Maybe they're feeling that way literally today as they're listening to this. But like, is it not the exact same in your world?
It can be. And now, like, I've done a lot of this, and so I've been able to mostly work when I'm working and not work when I'm not working for the most part. But yes, it's like you can get so, and I did for a long time, you get so locked in on the sort of just the next little thing that needs to happen versus the higher order plan that's going to take you to that next spot. And then you get like, I think of it, like the momentum of history. Like, it's just very easy to carry on the way things are unless they get painful enough that you need to change them. Mm-hmm. And that's always going to happen in some areas. But if you can say, hey, we have things that are the way they are right now. What can we, in a sense, reasonably imagine they could be like, such that we could try to figure out if we could get there? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I'd say it's anytime you're responsible for a thing, there's always something to do, something to go wrong, someone to, you know, to try to hire, to fire. There's always something in the business, and I hate work on the business versus in the business. That's pretty
cliche,
but it's cliche because it is true. And if you don't decide to do it, very intentionally, then you won't, because it's always something going on. There's just always something else.
Luke, you guys have built, you know, a proprietary product. You have, you know, I don't know how many thousands of users. You've got, you know, more recently investors and working, like, you know, I'm wondering if you can share any strategy or like visioning hacks or like things that you've learned over the last few years that is like, that has been super helpful for you that might also be helpful for a roofer, a painter, a builder, a landscaper.
Gosh, hacks. You know, when it comes to, let's say your vision for the future, it's really, it's hard to like let things go. And when you think about the future, a lot of what I imagine is the things I'll have to either kind of like let go, or the uncertainties of what if this was different. And I guess my advice will just be that it's the version of setting aside the time. I don't, to me, that's the only hack that at least I know of. Well, let me say this, and reading and thinking, and not just in your kind of like area. Like, you want to, again, there's best practices. You're going to Breakthrough Academy. They're going to give you systems. They're going to give you practices. They're going to take a lot of the, I don't know what the phrase is in hockey or whatever, but we are always saying blocking and tackling. You know, it's the standard stuff. You've got to get this stuff right. You don't need to reinvent the wheel with this stuff. And you just want to do it a version of the way everyone else does it with some tweaks, so that you get that stuff out of the way. Then it's your own stuff. It's your brand. It's your strategy. It's what are the unique opportunities that you can see. And I find I learn a lot and get a lot of ideas from things that aren't really like us. Like, I just gave a big speech to our company about how TikTok became popular. Like, what were the mechanics of how they went to market, got their videos posted on Instagram, got people back to TikTok, and created like a feed on TikTok when they didn't have the ability to do it based on like who you're following and all this stuff, because you're following no one, because it's brand new. And look, we're not a social media network, but And again, it's an app, so it's a little closer to what we're doing, but we can learn from things that they did and get kind of ideas about what's possible in the future if you're kind of like out there exploring and not, I don't want to say just the business books that tell you how to do management. Like that, it's so important to do that stuff. But even just ideas of how other strategies played out and what people were trying to do versus what happened. And that I learn a lot from that stuff and it helps me, but none of that really comes down to it unless I do set aside that time to just like hash it out.
It's an interesting point. I totally hear what you're saying. I think like, hey, there's a time and a place for, okay, when you ask people, what are your favorite books? It's always the same 10. And this is a totally hot take. 8 out of 10 of them aren't that good. When people say how to win friends and influence people, it's like, this is an 80-year-old book. Like, it's not, it's great. Okay, it's great. But like, that's just, you don't read that much if that's really like at the top of your list, honestly. And so once you've read through kind of your stock run of the mill, top 10 management, leadership, business, whatever books, you are essentially on, a rerun cycle, and every new year there's a new author who's trying to sell a coaching program or a mastermind or whatever. So they take their take on it with the new cover and they brand it well and they do the podcast tour and they sell their book that's saying the exact same thing that the one 5 years ago was saying, which is saying the exact same thing. It's like, it's all the same. So what you're saying, and I agree with, is broaden your horizons a little bit. I mean, I just watched the Napoleon movie. I learned a ton about business from Napoleon. Go and read some Eastern philosophy. You're going to learn a whole bunch about business from there. Once you get the blocking and tackling done, how to run a one-on-one, how to be a half decent leader, how to install a sales system, which all that stuff is readily available. I'm a big fan of kind of getting weird in your reading, your listening, your watching choices, because I think that there's truly deep insight there.
Yes. No, I'm completely with that. I think I've learned more about building software from like being interested in Elon Musk building rockets.
Yeah, right.
Because like it a lot of it transfers over. And that this is the last piece here. Is there is an element of following your interest and then complementing yourself, which is my interest is not kind of like process, accounting, balance sheet. Like I need to know that stuff and understand it at a basic level, but my interest is more over here in the kind of creative in this, you know, side. And I'm probably going to run my head against the wall and lose every time on process, accounting, kind of the blocking and tackling, if I try to just become the best there versus that, like elevating people, delegating and like giving other people the opportunity to have that ownership, that responsibility. And so there's an element of like kind of your lane, like where you are interested in things is a great place to
spend time.
I think like discover the innovation and then let other people who are interested in other things and then bring that together.
I tend to agree. My last point on this whole like step away and like strategy piece that Luke is talking about is so for those of you listening, it either came out last week or the week before, or it will come out very soon. I haven't decided as I'm recording this what's going to come out in what sequence, but I just finished a podcast with Cameron Harold on a book called Vivid Vision. It's his book. And he's basically the guy who invented the painted picture exercise. And just very, very briefly, you can't imagine how powerful it is to go away, write 4 to 5 pages in the present tense about your dream state business, how it feels, what it looks like, size, systems, markets, etc. Just go and do that and put it on the shelf and read it a couple times a year. He goes through the whole exercise. Super, super great book. And that was a great podcast. So if you want to
say the name one more time, because that
sounds
exciting Harold, to me.
Yeah, is the guy. He's the COO of 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and he's written a whole bunch of books. Anyway, let's move on to lesson number 4, Luke.
Number 4. This is where I go back on what I just said. Number 4 is commit to a system and enforce it. You need to be unique. You need to have a unique brand. You need to know what you're about. You need to try to document your process on social media and get out there. You need to have a strategy that differentiates you from other companies. But if you don't commit to some of these daily processes, to a way of doing things that is across your company, then every decision becomes a new decision all the time, and no one is empowered to make decisions at your company, you know, to act, because they don't know, in a sense, like what to do, what's next. And that, like, this one is sort of for me, because I don't want to commit to a system.
Right.
Like, I want to like see everything that comes in, think about it as like a brand new thing. How can we do this different, interesting? What are the core principles or whatever? And I can waste a lot of time and a lot of energy trying to innovate around something or do something different, or just like, you name it, when all I need to do is to follow the process that someone established, and usually it's someone else here, and we're good to go. Mm-hmm. I don't need to innovate in every little part of my business. And again, I know there's an element of preaching to the choir here, and I think your audience probably has this a little better than most.
Better, but not perfect.
No, it's hard, and like, you do want to tweak the system, but you want to give it a chance. Like, I knew when I was working for my dad at our family roofing business, you know, when I left, we probably had, I don't know, 60 people. Like, and it was decent sized, but not massive. But the idea of changing almost anything was pretty overwhelming, because you get things figured out. But since I left and got my stupid ideas out of there, and my brother, who's much more around like build process, like kind of this mentality, like, they've doubled, maybe tripled in size since then. And they've, you know, I do still kind of participate in some of that like ideating, but just that they have these clear systems, they have this clear process, they know how to hold people accountable, they're doing the smart thing. It just works. And then you do have to be willing to enforce it. Like, if you don't make it so, and you let people kind of keep running in these ad hoc ways that they want to do things because they've been doing them that way for a while, it just won't work for you. And most people have probably seen that, you know, where you've got a stubborn employee or just that thing. And I think my advice there is like, you just have to get with the program, or you're not, this isn't the right place for you to work. Like, there may be another place that you fit in perfectly where your ideas are going to reign, but here we have to get with the program. We have to follow the system that we're deciding on, and then we can work together as a team.
Yeah. And like, commit to a system and enforce it. Like, in the business of most of our listeners, there's, you know, 10 to 20 core systems. There's a system for how they sell. There's like a multi-touch point, you know, estimate or sales process. There's a system for how they market. There'd be a few different lead channels. There's a system for production. There's a system for how they do their books. You know, the system for how they hire and get the best talent, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, becoming somewhat boring and somewhat militant and somewhat factory-like with those processes, which takes time and takes reps, because you need to learn what the best practice is in the first place before you cement it in. I get all that. But there is a real comfort and safety, and I think scalability that comes from a very boring business where they just follow the steps. And this doesn't need to be a friggin' art project every day where we're, like you say, innovating, inspiring, revolutionizing. Like, we kind of, you know, get ahead of ourselves a little bit, I think, in this modern thoughtosphere that we all live in. There's a term that I learned, you know, in the last 2 years, and I'm sure, you know, people smarter than me have been aware of this for a lot longer, but I'll just share it here. It's the idea of change fatigue. And change fatigue is like basically a way to describe the feeling that a company has, you know, 18 months or 2 years or 5 years into a journey with an entrepreneur, when they're constantly doing these kind of course corrections and changes. Actually, we do this product. Actually, we're going to market this way. Actually, we're doing a rebrand. Actually, it's like, I think entrepreneurs forget how predictable and methodical most employees prefer their work life to be.
Yes. So I hired this fellow named Hank. He's significantly older than me, and he has a lot of wisdom. We got a lot of young, smart people here at Company Cam.
Right.
We don't have a lot of like wise people, and it really does pay to have some very wise people around. And he says this all the time, that like, we have to make the world simple for our people. Like it we need to keep it not keep it simple like they can't understand it, but like make it simple. Like like take away the number of things they have to think about and worry about. And that's what systems and processes do. They make things simple for you so that, yeah, you learn them, but then you follow them, and then you have that space outside of the system or process where you can actually devote your mental energy and, you know, your physical energy. But like, how do you keep the world simple for your people? And this key way is have a process and enforce it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love
commit
it.
Commit to a process.
Yeah.
But you're in my own rule.
Listen, man, everything sounds easy on a podcast.
Yeah.
That's what they're for.
That's easy.
I mean, I don't know. I'll just share one last thought on this. Like this is our 170th episode, and this podcast, we committed to a process very early and we stuck to it, right? We have 6 shoots a year that are a week long. We do 2 a days. I record this with Luke. When we hit end on this, I go and write an intro. We record the intro. I stitch it to the beginning. I always prep with a little roadmap. They release every Wednesday at a certain time. Most of those are automated. Like I could go through the... For you guys, but like this mm-hmm. thing that we do, there is a system that we committed to very, very, very early on. We haven't actually changed that much. You learn a little tips and tricks, you get better at a few things, but by and large, this has been the exact same recipe for 3 years. And we do like 50,000 downloads a month all of a sudden. Just like it kind of starts to happen like over time. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is actually becoming a thing. And I think that there's a universal truth to that applies to a painting business, a tech business, a restaurant, yes. a law firm, a daycare, whatever. Well,
committing to the system allows you to then spend your energy thinking about the actual podcast, yeah. not how are we going to schedule it? How are we going to, you know, you've got that. There's a process for that. So you get to think about what are we going to talk about? What sweatshirt am I going to wear? You know,
the important stuff. How am I going to tie exactly. the bandana? Okay, look, we are all out of time, Luke, but can you, is there anything that we can leave behind for listeners who are not, is there a free trial, a little demo? Have you got a link
yeah,
or something
we got,
that we can drop?
We have a deal. Yes, we'll put a deal out there. We'll put it at companycam.com. Do you want it Contractor Evolution? Do you want it?
Can you do /CE?
Yeah, I'll do companycam.com/CE. And I believe the deal is if you want to try Company Cam, if you haven't used it, we do a free trial, but then you get 50% off your first 2 months if you want to stick around. And so, hey, we'd love you to come try it. That's the most we could ask. But yeah, companycam.com/CE, and it will be there.
Okay.
Benji, you're the man.
You're the man. I'll let you get back to your strategy. I'd love to do another visit sometime again in Nebraska whenever I get a chance. And listen, go Huskers.
Go Huskers. Down with the Texas A&M Aggies.
Catch you later,
bro. See you later, man.
Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.